While we might all agree that getting the South African economy growing faster is the imperative, the way we get there is being hotly debated. An article penned by co-chair of the Youth Employment Scheme, Colin Coleman, titled "We Have a Growth and Not a Debt Problem," has gotten many backs up by Siam Hlanga, who's chief economist at Alexander Forbes, is one of the critics, and he joins us now. Thanks so much, Siam, for your time this evening. So I remember having a conversation with Colin Coleman about this in July already, but things have really only gotten heated over the past couple of weeks or so. Why is there no merit in what's been proposed as a temporary solution to get the growth model moving until the structural shifts that are needed are implemented?
Look, I think the first thing that we need to agree on, which is quite obvious and common knowledge, is the fact that South Africa has four key economic and socio-economic crises all at the same time. Very low levels of economic growth, an unsustainable public finance that has crowded out investment, a significantly weak state capacity to implement any of the economic reforms that we speak about, and a very high level of unemployment, inequality, and poverty. All those coexist at the same time. At least in terms of the diagnosis of what our issues are, there's an agreement. But now there are no quick fixes to the fundamental constraints to economic growth and development, and all the possible solutions will require hard trade-offs. And if we just take, for instance, the first point, which needs a sustainable public finance that will build confidence for the whole economy and attract private sector investment, this means hard choices of where government spends money and the ranking of those choices in order of importance, such that the choices that will block or that will prevent other crucial decisions being implemented are put last on the list. We have been deindustrializing for quite some time, and the manufacturing sector, being at the center of industrialization, has been declining as a share of the total economy. And there is no economy that can industrialize without energy. So we know for a fact that we need to fix our energy security. And those are some of the structural economic reforms that are required. But first, we need confidence to building the economy, and that needs fiscal sustainability. So a government that is able to manage its finances, that can promise investors that it will be able to pay back the investments that fund managers make in government bonds. If we can't do that, it's going to be difficult to build any credibility on the basis of which growth can be driven.
So where you have criticized the stimulus proposal that has been put on the table, Isaiah, does it speak to where your confidence sits on getting change through fast enough, or more a case of detracting from where revenue should be spent and how hard an unwind process that is going to be once a stimulus starts drying up?
Look, a stimulus can always improve economic growth depending on how that stimulus is spent. If a stimulus is to spend on investing in infrastructure, that stimulus is likely going to produce faster economic growth because the multiplier effects are high. But if the stimulus is geared towards consumption, the multipliers have declined over time, which means the amount of growth that you generate from a one rand that is spent via consumption is very low relative to, you know, the generation of growth that you make out of investing in infrastructure, which is very high. So what is being proposed is a stimulus for public spending on purely consumption, which we have seen over the last decade that did not generate that amount of economic growth. Remember, we piled on just about a trillion rand in public debt, much of which went to consumption, but growth was nowhere to be seen. So we shouldn't expect anything different now from all the suggestions that are being made, particularly those that say we need to institute some form of a universal basic income grant on a permanent basis, which makes it even worse, because we are not going to be able to generate the growth that will sustain this basic income grant over a long period of time. What we need, we may need a short-term solution to help those that are destitute, and also a solution to make sure that those people, they transition out of state support into formal employment where they can also take care of themselves and contribute into the economic growth.
Yeah. I'm going to put a very simplistic question through to you, Isaiah, and almost taking things back to basics here. Why will a stimulus program funded by debt in South Africa not work when it seems to have worked in the likes of the US and China?
In the US, much of the stimulus goes to infrastructure. If we just discount the 2020 pandemic year, where we saw a lot of cash transfers to households to help them because they were out of employment, but we also had a stimulus in the country where the 350 rand that was given to individuals that have either lost jobs as a form of short-term support while the economy reopened. But if we're talking about sustainable economic growth, we're talking about a stimulus package that is largely geared to repairing the infrastructure of the country. If you look in the US, there is one infrastructure stimulus. You look in Europe, there is the next generation European stimulus that is largely geared towards infrastructure that is going to repair the economy and generate jobs. That will lift economic growth.
Yeah.
But for us, if we think about what is required, fiscal consolidation has to happen. So we can't have fiscal consolidation at the same time as expanding our debt to fund a public welfare system. Those two simply can't exist at the same time. So what we need is a stimulus that is geared towards investment, but that stimulus can be funded by the private sector, which means we just need to do the right economic reforms to make sure that it's attractive enough for the private sector to invest.
Before I let you go, very quickly, Isaiah, how much complacency risk are you factoring into your equations here? I mean, how rife is the risk that pursuing this path will lessen government's commitment to fiscal outcomes and finding real solutions to the real economic challenges that we do face on a sustainable basis? Because it's almost become a culture we've gotten used to, right? This lack of discipline, is that not a big part of the problem here?
It is quite a big part of the problem. The state is significantly weak in terms of its capacity to implement any policies that it says it will implement. So we need to see the state starting to demonstrate actual implementation to build confidence to the private sector. So there is a big risk, which is why, as part of the pushback against increasing debt, because we had piled up of a million rand debt last decade, yet we didn't see the outcome because significant leakages through corruption and no one had been held accountable. So there's a significant risk, but if it is driven by the private sector, there is likely to be a better outcome than driven by the public sector.
Let's leave it there, Isaiah. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Isaiah Mhlanga, who's chief economist at Alexander Forbes.